Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
You better think about what you tried to do to me. You better think. I promise that'll make sense later. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm Lovell in Paradise, Hal Loveland, and I'm joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, Monday Right Raw, Lindsay Kelk.
Yay, that's me! That's not an easy one to say. And I did spend some of Monday night writing. I don't know, it was kind of raw. It needs a polish.
Was it raw? Yeah,
it's pretty raw.
It's pretty raw.
First draft raw.
The keyboard was raw. That keyboard had a family.
It might. It's very old. It very easily could have at least older nieces and nephews, if not grandchildren of its own.
It just had a little two-part ergonomic keyboard, one of those little ones.
I mean, you can't beat a classic. You can't improve on perfection.
No, that's right. Sometimes just gotta let it go. To start us out, unfortunately, there are some more awful things to get into with wrestling. So let's talk them out together, starting with the Speaking Out campaign, where wrestlers, especially women, are sharing their experiences with abuse in the business. This is usually followed by their abusers leaving vague apologies on their social media before they delete their accounts. I think it's worth noting, it would be weird not to say anything if we didn't point out that one of those people was multiple-time guest of the show, Mike Quackenbush.
Yeah. I said something on Twitter about it because I felt weird not saying something about it because I enjoy being part of Wrestle Twitter and I didn't want to. I think this is a point where we have to, if we enjoy it and we've been part of it, we have to acknowledge what's going on. We don't get a free ride on this just because we consider ourselves to be like a progressive place, I think, in the Nation of Conversation. And I think, I know I speak for myself, but I hope I'm fairly certain I speak for all of you guys too, that you are people who go out of your way to make sure the people we cheer for are not terrible people. And I think that's basically our fundamental guiding principle as a podcast. So that was a really tough one. But actually, what it did for me was pull into focus the fact that there should never have been a single name on that list that made us go, oh yeah, that guy. Because I think it's very similar to what happened in Hollywood, where everyone heard names and stories and they went, oh yeah, everyone knows about that. And it's like, no, it's 2020 now. We're not doing that everyone knew about that game anymore and giving anyone a pass. The names that were shocking and surprising were shocking and surprising and upsetting. But I was almost more upset with myself at the names that I saw that I knew about and have continued to watch that person and if not support them, but to watch them and go, ugh, I hate that guy. But I didn't turn the channel over, you know? Mm-hmm. I echo the sentiment we expressed last week that I hope this is the beginning of positive change and I hope this is the beginning of healing for a lot of people. And most importantly, fuck those guys. That's pretty much where I stand.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. I think we're coming to a place that's been happening the last few years that I don't think we're there yet, but at least we're starting to realize, myself included, that there is a difference between condemning or disliking things that are bad and actually doing something about it. How do you become an agent of change in whatever way that you can?
Yeah.
Now, none of us work in the pro wrestling industry. We are not backstage. You hear rumors and you don't know, you hear these stories told because you're not there. I'm not there. So I guess I'll just sort of watch it on TV and have feelings about it. And if we're at least asking, well, what can I do when I learn something like this? How can I be a part of the solution? That's a major first step. And that's not an easy step for anyone to take, because the second something that you believe is challenged, your instinct is to get very defensive about it and move further into your corner and come up with every excuse why it isn't true. Like, I, you know, For in the case of Mike, I could look at it and go, well, geez, of all of in the spectrum of things, he just seems like a bad person who at least didn't like commit one of the like on the further spectrum. But that would be me trying to justify in some way retroactively having this guy on the podcast and thinking like, oh, he's a good guy. I enjoyed what he had to say about wrestling, instead of going, well, this is not good behavior. How do we stop it?
And don't forget, you know, two things can be true. Like, he can have been an entertaining guest who has an encyclopedic knowledge of wrestling and be very charming and very likable. And you can also behave in a reprehensible manner. A lot of people, I think, want to think things are black and white, and that's very rarely true. There is very rarely a binary in anything. It's perfectly possible that you could have met him, had a wonderful interaction with him, and really enjoyed him as a person, and that does not stop any of the allegations that have been made against him being true. And I think that goes for everyone involved here.
You have to step back to that, well, they were always nice to me. It's not a good excuse for anything. And also, on the flip side of it, it's not great to be in the dog pile on any of this.
No.
Because we don't know. There are certainly people within this who are irredeemable.
Yeah.
And have done irredeemable things. There may be others out there who have some path to improving and evolving as a human being. If we don't look for ways in general as people to foster that, then we're never going to get where we want to go. Mm-hmm. I know it's like it's tempting, and I want to ring the shame bell and walk behind every single one of these people. And there are a lot of times, especially the past couple of weeks, where I've wanted to like write something and be like, yeah. And I just ultimately, it's better to support the victims than try to destroy
the accused.
The accused. Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's going to happen anyway.
And also,
when we all
like,
rally around the people and believe them, then good things happen. And hopefully we're warding off future instances, because they can't go behind, well, nobody, I can leverage my power. If we all band together and say abuse of power is a bad thing and actively fight it, then we can prevent things from happening.
Maybe this time next week we will be in a place to start rebuilding. We'll see. But I am I have so much love for the people that have expose themselves in this way to help make this happen, because they're gonna be feeling vulnerable right now, and that's a terrible way to feel.
Lindsay, what did you think about Candice LeRae's statement about Joey Ryan?
I'm very glad she has made a statement. I say it was 3 days ago. The Joey one is horrible. The Joey one is utterly sickening, because if true, and I have to say that legally, if true, he was hiding abuse in plain sight by making his gimmick a sleazy scumbag dude when he was in fact a sleazy scumbag dude. And that's fucking disgusting. Like, that really disgusts me. That makes me feel physically sick. And I saw him speak on a panel at WrestleMania in New Orleans with Mike. He was on a panel with Mike on a Mega Ran event, and he was talking about his gimmick and what he does and how people had asked if it was abuse. He brought it up, and he was on the panel, and Leva Bates was on the panel, and she was like, I love it when you grab my boobs, ha. And I was there with my brother, and I was like, well, that's pretty gross. Like, that's not a cute way to refer to it. But, and even though it fleetingly crossed my mind that I'm like, well, but if I was a lower standing of wrestler than you, and you said, we're going to do this thing where I grab your boobs and you grab my dick, I wouldn't feel comfortable saying no, because you have so much more power than I do in this industry. And even with that in my mind, I still went to see him, because I was like, oh, that crossed my mind that that's gross, but I don't know that it's gross. And it's, I think it's really, 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 really terrible. Really, really, really terrible that he has portrayed himself as this woke feminist icon who just is there championing women and saying women are equal to men, and then has been preying on women behind the scenes the whole time. And his statement was appalling. His statement was complete bullshit. tough. Yeah, like, I'm sorry. It was very much a, I'm sorry if you've been hurt by me, but shrug, I've been in therapy and I'm on meds now. I'm like, what meds do you get for being an abuser? What are the meds for I've been preying on and taking advantage of women in my industry? I didn't know they made a pill for that. Yeah, I mean, that's a pill they made for that. And Candace, I'm glad she said something. I'm sorry it took so long for her to say something. She didn't say she didn't know, right? That's the thing in the statement. It just says, I do not and have never condoned actions, and I trusted this person. Oh, she says she's learning how he acted. I don't know. I hope it's true. I really, 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 really hope she had absolutely no idea. But hates everything about it. That's how I feel.
I want to bookend this just talking about wrestlers whose careers are on an interesting trajectory. Tessa Blanchard was stripped of the Impact World title and fired from the company. And this is what Julian wrote. So I want to express that when it's an editorialized question, I don't want it to be like my question. I want to footnote it. Who's going to be the first company to decide she's too talented to pass up, despite the accusations that came out last year about her being a racist bully?
I think it's a fairly well put question. Yeah. I had a chat with Danielle last night, who is not with us this week because she's on maternity leave looking after her new cat son. We chatted about this briefly last night and about our conflicting feelings on it, because from a purely wrestling standpoint, it's really sad that such an iconic storyline where a woman came in and beat a man legit and won the belt and held that belt and defended it, and that's really disappointing, but at the same time, allegedly trash. Sorry, anyone can be trash. I'm gonna put my money on AEW being the company that doesn't care enough about her being a racist bully. And I'm going to put money on AEW having her come in, destroy Shida, and be champion forever, because that feels like something they would do. I mean, her daddy's at AEW. I would say WWE needs her less. I would say AEW, we know they still need to bolster their women's division. I wish it wasn't potentially with a problematic talent, but they got some problematic talent, and they enjoy that. So
she and Sammy Guevara are going to form a stable?
Maybe, and throw Jake Hager there for, maybe when Jericho goes off on tour again, because I feel like he'll be the first act to open up post-COVID and be proud of it. He'll have Fozzy on a global tour. Maybe they'll just have Tessa come in and run the stable. Like, she can be Le Champion. I don't know, champagne, la champagne. That's not French. I speak French. I should know that. I see it. That's where I see her going. And I think it will be yet another cloud over the skies, the sunny skies of AEW. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll see. Who knows? Maybe she'll show up on Raw next week and I will slap the taste out of my own mouth. But I won't, because I won't see it, because I don't watch Raw. So
there you
I
go. Mean, see? You won't even know.
It'll be fine. It will be fine.
Yeah, you'll be okay. So to close out our opening segment of the sunny side of wrestling, you mentioned the pandemic. COVID-19 has not gone away. In fact, it's getting worse all over the country. In
so
many
much
places.
Worse, Hal. So much worse.
I know. It's invading all professional sports and also the world of professional wrestling, where in-ring talents and on-camera talents such as Renee Young and Kayla have both tested positive. So because Renee has COVID, that means that Moxley's on lockdown. Also, QT Marshall was taken off of the card because he came into contact with somebody who had tested positive. Can I just
say
something?
I'm so glad they're sticking to their bubbles that they promised us that they were sticking to.
I love wrestling, and I realize I host a podcast where we talk about the things that happen in wrestling each week. Can we stop with all the fucking wrestling? Can we just put it on the goddamn shelf for several months? If you are
this
WWE,
is, this is the sincerity that we promised. Later to come is the hilarity, but this is very much the sincerity.
When you lose the majority of your roster to this virus and nobody can wrestle anymore, you're going to wish that the worst thing that happened was that Fox had pulled their deal on you. You have decades and decades of archive material from several different promotions that you could put together programs that are best ofs using current talent to set them up. You could have talent making their playlists live on television. It feeds people into your network. There's just, It's just fucking ridiculous. I'm anywhere in the world that wrestling is happening, I'm not for it, because it is a threat to the people who wrestle and to the audience, who are adults that can make up their own decision and decide their personal liberty or their need to make money is greater than their safety, the safety of their family, the people near them. And I surrender the fact that I have zero control over what anybody does. But and I'm watching stuff to talk about it, but it makes me less and less comfortable the more this stuff comes out. It's just fucking ridiculous, and it drives me goddamn crazy. Shut it the fuck down, especially everybody who's in Florida that's like the epicenter of all this. I'm scared to death.
Oh, you mean COVID town?
Yeah.
COVID town.
I mean, it.
Coronada. That's what we're calling it now. It's just Coronada.
I've been very excited for the NBA to return because basketball is my favorite sport. I like it when they dribble up and down the court. But I'm so now I'm just scared that Joel Embiid is going to turn to ash like Thanos just snapped his fingers because of COVID. Like, it's not, there's no joy in any of this.
Do you know what the thing is that's so weird, Hal? Is sports people, by and large, I'm maybe darts players, not so much, but for a lot of athletes, cardio is really important. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I don't know if people know this. I've got to assume they don't. You know what coronavirus does? It fucks up your lungs, Hal. Oh. It fucks up your lungs.
Your pulmonary respiratory system?
That's the one. I feel like we talked about this a bunch at the beginning when it first popped up and everyone went out to buy all of the toilet paper and we were still watching Tiger King and everything was still a little bit like, chuckles, see you all by Memorial Day.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
So why are you putting your athletes at risk? What is wrong with you? What is wrong? I know it's greed. I know what is wrong with them is a capitalist society, and this is a larger discussion that does not take place on this podcast. But what the actual fuck are they thinking?
I get there are people who want, like, I want to work. It's important we entertain people during this time because it's so difficult. But also it feels like there are a lot of environments in pro wrestling, from accounts I've heard allegedly, where it's like you have to work. There's no, especially famously WWE, this idea of like, unless both legs have been broken.
If you choose not to work because of the coronavirus, it will not impact your career in any way. In any way, Roman, Sammy, Kevin, everyone else that's refused to work and lost opportunities and championships and storylines, it will not impact you at all. I'm throwing both middle fingers up at the camera, which makes for fantastic podcasting, but it's the only expression of my rage that I can really, really get on with right now.
Stone Cold Lindsay Kelk. Hey, if you want to join us in getting angry at the awful parts of the world, just join us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Discord for more. When we come back, we'll get to the part of wrestling that we actually like. Some a whole bunch, some, sure. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Hi, I'm Renee Colbert.
I'm Alexis Preston.
And we're the hosts of the smash hit podcast, Can I Pet Your Dog? Now, Alexis.
Yes.
We got big news.
Uh-oh.
Since last we did a promo, our dogs have become famous.
World famous.
World, like,
stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Second big news.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews are in.
Mm-hmm.
Take yourself to Apple Podcasts. You know what you're going to hear? We're happy.
It's true.
We're a delight, a great distraction from the world.
I like that part a lot.
So if that's what you guys are looking for, mm-hmm. you got to check out our show. But what else can they expect?
We've got dog tech, dog news, celebrities with their dogs, all dog things.
All the dog things. So if that interests you, well, get yourself on over to Maximum Fun every Tuesday.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kelk.
Let's talk about the women's wrestling scene on the main roster of WWE. Asuka retained her Raw Women's title by tapping out Charlotte in a pretty good match. And now with Charlotte out with elective surgery for the next few months and Becky Lynch preparing to be a mommy, WWE has to make do without its two biggest stars of the division. We got a great tag match also with the Iconics losing to Bayley and Sasha. Afterwards, Sasha teased that she was going to challenge Bayley for her title because she wanted to have dose straps too.
She's going to challenge Oscar, right? She's going to challenge Oscar. It's so exciting.
Yes.
Sorry. I'm so excited. Because she'll be Sasha. Good. Oh, she did come up with something. What was her tag? Two belts banks.
There you go.
It was worth it.
It was worth it to look it up.
And every time you talk about both your titles, I can't help but to get a little jealous. Look, Bailey, you're my best friend, and I love seeing you happy. I love it. But I can't help but want to experience that as well. So,
what are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is, I want a title match. So, at Extreme Rules, I am officially challenging Asuka to the Raw Women's Championship.
Wow.
The women's division has looked good all around WWE in general.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. Nia Jax looks like a badass for taking out Charlotte to give Charlotte the excuse to be gone. That's
for
like
her
a nice
elective
little,
surgery.
Yeah. That's a
for
nice little bit
months.
Of elevation for Nia. Like, let's build her as a monster. Seems to be the problem with giants, right? And certainly Big Show, you could point to the number of mines that WWE stepped on in building him over the last 21 years,
his entire life, the last his entire life. Yeah,
you have to heat a giant back up by giving him you have to sort of build, and a lot of the times the way you do that is through squash matches, but in this case they had an opportunity to use her to put their golden child out.
You go prison rules. You take out the biggest dog in the yard. You know, it's either squash matches or prison rules for a monster, and there's no in between.
Yeah.
I feel like they have so struggled with Nia because they don't know what to do with her, especially. She is stunningly beautiful. She is a plus size woman. She isn't amazing on the mic, I think,
better.
Is a problem. Better, but
she's
not
better.
I just think she's not in. Do you know the thing that I've always missed from Nia? And I wish Danielle was here to talk about this. I know she has many Nia feelings, and maybe we'll do a Nia chat one week. But the thing I miss with Nia is an intensity. Like, I feel like she has it in the eyes, but she doesn't carry it through. Even when she walks down to the ring, it's like she's sauntering. It's like she's just kind of like, oh, I'm going to. Guess I'll just stroll on down now and do some stuff. And I just really feel like I've always missed that presence and that intensity and almost like a Brock-esque self-confidence, where she has much more of a laid-back self-confidence where it's like, oh, it's time to wrestle now. Okay. And I do think if you're going to be a dominating monster, you need to have that very intense power behind you and not just hide it behind, I'm cute. I'm real cute.
This is a great opportunity. A powerhouse woman who I think does have that intensity and has my new favorite nickname, which is over on NXT. Big Mommy Cool, Raquel Gonzalez. Is so. I was not aware of any work that she did before she got to NXT. She clearly has, like, this is not her first dance. Or if it is, she is a wunderkind.
I believe she doesn't have a ton of experience, and I
She's
might
great.
Be making that up. But I feel like when she came in as Reyna Gonzalez, the whole point was that she was very new.
Well, she is very good, and I believe everything she does.
Yeah.
She is a good storyteller in the ring, and apparently you can teach that. So fuck you. Cass and the other guy whose name I forgot, and nobody say it. I don't want to remember.
Good for you.
Don't want to remember.
No.
But Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai.
Nice. I see what you did there.
Beat Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter, my new favorite tag team.
You love them so much. You love Casey
friends.
Catanzaro so much.
They're so, because they, I love both of them because they're best friends. And on TikTok, you get to see them hang because they're roommates. And they
you've
got to
come off
dumb,
the TikTok. The
together.
TikTok hasn't been good for your quarantine
Never.
Productivity.
No,
it's very not been good for you, Hal.
I'm still getting things done. I raised $2,000 for charity.
Video of a cat sticking its face down a tube that you sent me. So I'm not allowed to go on TikTok because of you.
There's so much more.
You, I can't.
That is your TikTok. Your TikTok is the stuff I send you.
I can't go into it. I cannot. Curated. I have to write a book. And it's you will lose a day on TikTok. You will lose a day.
Yeah.
So I can't do
but,
it.
Oh, what it makes the time pass. Very good. But yeah, I like they're taking a real life friendship and turning it into a tag team. Also, this tag team is a culmination of some low key storytelling over the past week or two. I like seeing that it's just well done, solid storytelling that NXT is known for. They actually won the ratings war this week.
Smashed
it.
Absolutely smashed
AEW
this week, which I feel like we probably should mention when we get to AEW because, like, woof.
Yeah. Well, we're almost done with NXT. Rhea Ripley continued her feud with Robert Stone.
I'm just going to say, I fucking love this. Like, there are two things that I love about NXT right now, and I enjoy NXT. It's still my favorite show. If it's not Dexter Lumis being my favorite creepy boy of all time, I love him.
Great segment.
Have I tried to do the crawl across the ring just using my fists? I don't know. Maybe I have. Hal's on TikTok. I'm learning to crawl across the floor just using my fists. I had no time for the Robert Stone brand when it was Chelsea Green adjacent, who I assume has been taken away so she can just go and replace Charlotte for a while on the Reign roster. Watch out for that, lads. I'm prepared to put some money on it. But Robert Stone trying to convince Rhea Ripley to join the Robert Stone brand, puking aside, which was disgusting, because I have no time for peeing, puking, pooping, anything body horror related. I fucking hate it. It has no place. Pulling people's ears out with pliers. No, no. But Robert Stone being a hot mess and trying to seduce Rhea into joining his brand with the choo-choo, choo-choo. I like all day. Give me that all day. Inject it into my veins. It will keep me young. I love it.
So moving forward, Rhea, I got this for you. And what this is a golden ticket. And with this golden ticket, you get a second chance. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, this train is picking up steam, and do you wanna come on board? Choo, 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 choo.
This is great storytelling, and how it works if she should lose that match next week and then she has to join the brand. I am all in for this. This is why wrestling is my soap opera. This is why I can't wait to see what it does. I can't wait to see him, whatever makeover segment comes up when he tries to give her a makeover. I'm looking forward to him making her tag with Aaliyah. I'm just like, this opens up a massive world of possibilities. It does something completely different for Rhea's character. You get to see a completely separate side of her, and she's carrying it. She is killing it. And I love it. I love it so much. When he threw a shoe. I love it. Sorry. Please continue with everyone else's life and leave me alone to just sit and replay Rhea Ripley's greatest moments.
Do it.
So fantastic.
I want to give credit to the creative at NXT, which may include the DOGG. I'm not sure. But the decision after stripping the Undisputed Era of all but the world title to not break them up and have them continue and stay together has been maybe one of the low-key best creative decisions they've made. The whole storyline with Dexter Lumis, them trying to therapize Roderick Strong in first, like giving him trunk exposure training and then having him face Dexter Lumis only to have him freak out and not wrestle the match and just run away. It's such a great non-match match, and everybody gets some kind of rub from it, and I love that. It just made me very happy. I thought it was very well done.
Isn't it sad that we're so used to being let down by the storytelling in the thing that we love, that when the storytelling is good, we are literally joyous? When the logical storytelling is carried through to a smart conclusion, instead of just being like, well, they lost belts, so now they're going to break up and hate each other and fight each other. Like, no, the Undisputed Era is more than belts. And I think we have seen this a little bit with Jericho and his stable over on AEW. Is, you know, Jericho's not the champion anymore, but he's still the champion. And they've all stayed together. They haven't had any infighting. They don't turn on each other. They stick together. They're a real stable. They're a real faction, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And I think the Undisputed Era are that in a much more concise and cohesive package. I think never break them up. Never break them up. I didn't mind when they teased Roddy being on the outs with them, because that made for some tension for a couple of weeks, and they thought they did that really well. But I think just keep this going forever and a day, because it just makes me happy. Their dynamic is so good. It means their sneakiness is so great. It means they can do so much. Including, trunk exposure and everyone getting choked out by Dexter Lumis.
Yeah, and Kyle O'Reilly, the chameleon.
The chameleon, who knew? They didn't even realize he was
the therapist.
For real, let's get him.
And going like pursing your lips and going,
he needs to for real be in a Hollywood movie when they start reshooting 7 years from now. He should absolutely, he is a chameleon.
Every movie Dana Carvey starred in that wasn't Wayne's World should be recast with Kyle O'Reilly, the new man of 1,000 characters. Of course, NXT ended with Keith Lee winning a triple threat against Johnny Gargano and Finn Balor. He will now go title for title against Adam Cole, I assume, at the Great American Bash.
I believe so. I believe.
Be a bash.
Or the old event. AKA the Fuck You Cody the event that will be occurring.
Right.
They're like, oh, did you, what have we got? What is this we've got in our pocket? What is this? Oh, your dad's entire back catalog. Fuck you. Like, that's not petty.
Hey, just wait until August when they do NXT Takeover Son of a Plumber. That's coming next. People are very excited about that.
You win the golden plunger. It's it's just, ouch and oof.
Well, it's time for our recurring segment where you recap everything happening in the AEW women's division. Lindsay, take it away.
There was one match, but it was a really good one. Mm-hmm. So to set the scene, for those of you who didn't see it, which is none of you, although actually maybe it was a bunch of you because they dropped 100,000 viewers this week. Woof, woof, woof. So Sheeta, having lost her planned opponents forever of Britt Baker and Chris Statlander, they're both out with long-term injuries. Now we have Penelope Ford moved into the main event picture because they thankfully had a third blonde white woman to move up. And a confrontation commenced. Everyone split it up. The referee was like, get in the ring, Sheeta. You have a match. Sheeta got in the ring to face her opponent, Red Velvet. And in 12 seconds, Sheeta decimated this woman. Such was her fury. And I love Angry Sheeta. We saw Angry Sheeta in her match against, that was Double or Nothing, against Nyla Rose. That was, was where we saw that match. That we saw Angry Sheeta then, and she was fantastic. We saw Angry Sheeta this week. It was two moves and you're out. Two moves and you are down. You're getting a Falcon Arrow and you are dead now, madam. And then she immediately left the ring to beat the living shit out of Penelope Ford in such a great showdown. And again, WWE, this is what women fighting looks like, not catty scrapping. It looked like she was there to kill her. They had to be separated by Kip Sabian got involved, got a punch in the face that broke his sunglasses, which was just beautiful character work for him when he put them back on and didn't notice. And then towards the end of the segment was like, my sunglasses, which I thought was just really lovely. They had to be separated. It made them both look like real threats. It made Penelope Ford look like a genuine contender who really wants that belt. Even if you don't buy her as someone who's earned that shot or as someone that's good enough to get that shot, you know that she wants it. And sometimes that's enough. Loved it.
Awesome. Good. Yeah, I did too. Two more things I want to touch on from Dynamite. One is Colt Cabana and Brody Lee taking on Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss and getting the victory. Will Colt Cabana join the Dark Order? I'm enjoying the storyline. It's fun to watch him sort of revel in the victory.
Because he's a good actor. Because Colt is a really good actor. Well,
I love the singlet too. The Pride singlet was great.
So lovely. The Pride singlet was great. And I also wanted to give a shout out, which I would have put over if I wasn't putting over what I'm putting over. There's a sentence. Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela's skit, their vignette, where they beat up some guys at a gas station and said, hey, I could get used to this. And Joey said, hey, I could too. And I loved that. I love those two boys. I love those sweet boys.
Finally, Orange Cassidy and Chris Jericho had a showdown with a war of the words, just from Jericho's side, and a bad beat for sunglasses as he destroyed Orange Cassidy. It was a great promo. Then so the beatdown, which we talked about, that was not great, but it's still worth watching just for the segment, the chemistry between them, and I'm certainly interested in the match.
Wasn't it great? Like, mm-hmm. The promo was so smart, because it was what all the best promos are, where it's grounded in a genuine opinion. I'm not saying that Jericho really called people up and said, why this guy, he sucks, but there are certainly detractors out there, Orange Cassidy's detractors, who say, but he's a one-trick pony, he's just a gimmick, he just stands there and kicks people, he sucks. And yes. Then Orange Cassidy immediately goes on to stand there and kick him and do the thing he's just accused him of. And I was in stitches. I'm like, no, he's doing the thing. He's doing the thing that he said that he does. And it's hilarious. And then he broke the sunglasses and went too far. And then they both went too far by rubbing coronavirus all over the fans in the crowd. But
they're
apart
already
from
sick.
That,
they're not. They weren't social distancing. Only half of them were wearing masks.
I know. I know. It's just, but still. But I thought the promo was... This is why Jericho is one of the absolute all-time greats. And I think he had to leave WWE to achieve this. I really do. I think AEW, if it is known for anything ever, it will be that it revealed just the true greatness, the final evolution of the wonder that is Chris Jericho. He can do it all, folks. He can do it all. Apart from that leather jacket. I don't know.
I don't even know if this is his final form.
I don't know. I feel like he's like an Uber Pokemon that could just keep going. There's no end to it. Julian's laughing because he's now like, well, actually, Lindsay, there is a Pokemon that does. And it's like, no, this is he's the beyond Pokemon. He's Poke Jericho. Jeremon. Hey, he's a Jeremon.
Lindsay.
How?
Let's talk about New Japan. Monday was New Japan Cup Night 3. Zack Sabre Jr. lost to Kota Ibushi and Shobi.
It's been New Japan Cup week. It's been magical.
Is it Shingo Takagi or Shinjo?
Shingo, I believe.
Okay, Shingo Takagi. Lindsay, I did not watch it.
Oh, how?
Tell us what's good.
You know how like you want to love wrestling again sometimes and it's hard because of them rolling around licking each other and spitting in each other's mouths and having lumberjack matches and putting people in Perspex boxes that are entirely pointless because the coronavirus is a virus and not a fucking bullet. Watch some New Japan. Please, people, I beseech you. I beg of you. Go watch some New Japan. There's so much of it right now. It's on New Japan World. It's 9.99 yen a month. It's well worth your money. Most of the matches are up now with their English commentary. Sometimes it takes a day later because they are being safe. They are actually being really fucking safe. As safe as you can be. They're still doing empty arena matches. Between each match, everything gets sanitized and there will be cute little skits and videos and vignettes reminding you to use hand sanitizer and to wear masks. And someone comes out in like full protective gear to sanitize every bit of the ring between matches. It is so glorious. And the action has been amazing. So last week I said I was excited about the Ibushi Zack Sabre Jr. match. I was right to be excited. It was fantastic. It's up there for you to watch, but I'm going to spoil it and let you know that Ibushi wins. If you want just a moment of zen, a moment of joy, I would recommend you watch the Takahashi versus Yano match, because this is a New Japan Cup, so it counts as part of the tournament, but it also built on a tag team match which happened earlier in the week, which was an 8-man tag, which was very weird because it had the biggest star power. Okada was in that match. Naito was in that match. Naito is the two belts champ over in New Japan right now, and obviously he's not in the cup because the winner of the cup gets a challenge against him. So we hadn't seen much of him. So they had this 8-man tag match, which ended in a bizarre count out when Yano and Takahashi just started chasing each other around the arena, with Yano threatening to shave Takahashi's hair, which he did back when Takahashi was a young lion. Because no one does long-term storytelling like motherfucking New Japan. It's like, oh, you thought Golden Lovers was a slow burn? This is just when a dude shaved another dude's head so very long ago. And yet now it's still paying off. So he chased him with some hair clippers and wrapped his legs together with duct tape. But then Okada came out to tell Yano off because they ended up both getting counted out, and that was the end of the match. And it was so bizarre. But then the next night they had their singles match where once again the Clippers came out. Takahashi is suffering from some PTSD in the style of Roderick Strong. He doesn't want to get in the match. He just wants to run away. He's very afraid. Once again, legs were tied together with duct tape. But Takahashi used one of the assistants at the side of the ring to help him basically three-legged man hop back into the ring on the count of 19, because New Japan goes to 20, to break the count and win the match. And it was just, it's a comedy match, but it was a comedy match done so well. I mean, a lot of people know Yano from comedy matches. He's done a lot of work with Colt. You may have seen some of those matches, but Takahashi is just so glorious. It's been really exciting. It's been really fun. And it's so nice to have marginally less problematic wrestling available to us again. And Ibushi looks ripped, man. Ibushi, someone did not spend quarantine eating snacks like I did. Ibushi is enormous. Like, he's just been working out. He misses Kenny a lot. That's got to be it. Misses his pal. Misses the Golden Lovers. But check it out. It's just glorious and so worth your $9.99. And there's a bunch of free matches up there right now, because they want everyone to have a thing to watch that's been sanitized.
Well, there you go, folks. If you have any thoughts on what we've discussed, connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Discord via the links in our show notes. We'll be back after this with some things from the wrestling world that you should know about. This is Tights and Fights.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we host
Round Springfield.
Round Springfield is a new Simpsons podcast that is Simpsons adjacent. Mm-hmm. In its topic, we talk to Simpsons writers, directors, voiceover actors, you name it, about non-Simpsons things that they've done, because, surprise, they're all extremely talented.
Absolutely. For example, David X. Cohen worked on The Simpsons, but then created a little show called Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
That's our very first episode, so yeah. Tune in for stuff like that with Yardley Smith, with Tim Long, with different writers and voice actors. It's going to be so much fun. And we are every other week on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, joined today by
Lindsay Kelk.
And hey, folks. This week, we're going to end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the three count. Lindsay, what are you putting over this week?
I am just continuing on my role of love for New Japan. Two things. One, I just mentioned Yano and his great matches with Takahashi. I also want to shout out to Yano, who has been coming out. So we're all familiar with Triple H just spitting water up in the air and spraying coronavirus all around the arena. I know he hasn't done it recently, but that's what that is. It's fucking disgusting. It's always been disgusting. Mm-hmm. And I hope now that is over. I hope that has gone the way of breakfast buffets and the Costco sheet cake, which I'm furious about. And we'll talk about that another time. But what Yano does when he comes out is he has a little spray bottle, just like a regular plastic spray bottle. And he holds it up to his mouth and then sprays it in the air. And it's such a little moment. It's such a tiny thing. But I had to rewind it and watch it like five times because right now it's just so glorious. I think they said at one point it was hand sanitizer in the spray bottle. So instead of spitting out water, he puts his head back and then sprays the water bottle where his mouth, in front of his mouth. So he's spraying it instead of spitting it, which is just utterly genius and a brilliant way to bring the pandemic and what's happening into wrestling in a positive way to remind people of it, but not in a scary way. You know, it can be done, WWE. It can be done. And then the other thing I wanted to put over was the New Japan merch team for being utter geniuses, utter geniuses. Have you ever wished that someone in your life could be Kota Ibushi? Anyone in your life? Or could you just have Kota Ibushi in your life? I'm sure you have. Well, now you kind of, sort of, can't really, but could, because you can buy boxer shorts designed to look like Kota Ibushi's ring gear, and they are perfection. I asked Jeff if he would like some, and he said no, and that he wouldn't wear them. But guess what? Guess what, Al?
Bought them anyway.
He's getting some. Bought them anyway. So happy birthday, Jeff. It's like, I wanted to get you something else, but the Rona, there was the Rona. This is all you could have. And I had to order it 3 months in advance to quarantine it because it came from afar. So it's going to be amazing.
It's like being John
Maybe
Malkovich,
I'll wear them. Maybe I'll get me some. Yeah, exactly like that. It's going to be fantastic. But yeah, Kotaro Ibushi underwear, Yano and his hand sanitizer spray, just New Japan in general. Well done, sir.
All right. I want to put over the heel, the burgeoning heel we all love, which is Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, who got a bunch of trash dumped on her by Big Swole, but not before she had Tony Schiavone read this announcement on her behalf.
You read it.
Okay, this is to Big Swole.
Yeah?
And this is from Britt Baker. I might have been in a dumpster for 9.5 to 10 hours.
Hours.
But you're still the biggest piece of trash on this roster.
What? Come on.
I'll have my big revenge, Big Swole.
Thank you.
I just love it. I love the heel work. I love Shivani's involvement in it. It's the most I've ever liked him. He's playing the role really well. Nothing against him personally. I'm glad he's been able to make a living. Good for him. Might not be my cup of tea, but it's great.
You don't have to be everyone's cup of tea, but he's doing good work.
Yes,
you don't have to be everyone's cup of tea, but you do have to do the work.
And he does the work.
JR. And he does the work. Unlike some people, JR. But that's just the thing I say at the end of every sentence. Mm-hmm. It's a tick. Don't worry about it, JR. But it's been really fun. I loved her Perspex box. I loved her passing her notes. Mm-hmm. I loved her GTFO FTR. That was just so good.
Great.
She's doing so good.
Good for her. I love some of the best stuff going in AEW right now. That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk and me, Hal Lublin. Hey, if you're listening to this at a Saturday or even a day after, you can watch the latest Thrilling Adventure Hour show. It is Saturday evening. The proceeds go into the NAACP Legal Defense Fund and Color of Change. For more information, go to houseseats.live. It will be available for 48 hours after we do the show, so you can get it a little late and still watch it. And I'm sure it'll be available sometime after that. A lot of great live shows benefiting charity happening over at houseseats.live. So please go check that out and listen to We Got This with Mark and Hal and Good Morning Night Vale. And, those are my things right now.
Nice.
Lindsay?
I'd like to give a shout out to Julian, who is updating the script as we speak to put over his own addictions, which I'm sure
you're not supposed to talk about these things. Nobody ever wants. You're not supposed to talk about how sausage is made or how podcasts are made.
This is how the sausage is made. This is behind the magic. This is what really happens. There was a string attached to the ball. That's how it worked. I would like to give a shout out to Sci-Fi's The Great Debate. If you haven't watched it yet, it's happening on behalf of our very own Danielle Radford, who is a content producer, wrote a bunch of the hilarious jokes, and performs as DB8 on the show. She can hear her own sweet voice coming out of a little robot, which is the most exciting thing. And just for me, I have a book coming out in 4 weeks in England. In the UK, it's coming out in 4 weeks, called In Case You Missed It, and it will be out in the US and Canada in September, Australia in August, other places, other times. But you can pre-order it, and I think it's good, so please do that. I don't usually think they're good, but I think this one might be good. So please pre-order my book.
Do it, for goodness sakes. Our producer is Julian Burrell, and he is addicted to taking apart his video game hardware in quarantine. Just freshly written. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Links to all of those are in our show notes. Hi, Link. If you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all of your friends. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible. And hey, if you're looking for some merch outside of those Kota Ibushi boxer shorts, get yourselves a nice Tights and Fights t-shirt, available in many sizes and very comfortable to wear. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.